shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and that's just life. Anyway, this hour, Margaret Gray from A Little Bird Told Me joins us from the Dicklin Syndicate. Doug Danger will be on the line as well. And we're going to talk about the latest in the episodes and adventures of Mel Gibson. One of the reasons why we're going to talk about this is because, you know, there's got to be some serious concern. And Margaret's on the line with us now. Margaret, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Phil.
And there's got to be some serious concern about this man's mental health.
Well, Phil, I dare say that there is always going to be concern for the emotional well-being and the health of anyone who is as under the pressure, I think, that Mel Gibson's under, who achieves and who creates at the level a Mel Gibson creates at. What you're going to hear here, and I think you're going to play this tape.
Yeah, this is the tape. And by the way, I want to let everybody know, give us the background on this.
This tape was made by Joe Esterhaus's son. I think the young man's name is Nate. 15-year-old son. They were guests of Mel Gibson's at his home in Costa Rica. Joe Esterhaus is a very, very accomplished and well-known screenwriter. But in this particular instance, Mr. Esterhaus had not delivered, according to Mel, the first draft of a script that he had promised for a forthcoming movie called The Maccabees.
Which is a historical film concerning a period in the history of the Jewish people.
Yes. And now, they were guests of Mr. Gibson's. Dinner was about to be served. I think there were two or three other dinner guests that were invited. When Mel reacted to the fact that Joe had not delivered the script, the boy, Mr. Esterhaus's son, started his tape recorder and began to record what you're going to hear. And I think it's very unfortunate because it does not capture what happened before or after. In other words, the conversation was much longer than Mel Gibson getting angry.
All right, okay. Well, let's listen now to what we do have. Please keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that there might be some rough language, but we're going to edit as much as we can out of that, and we're going to dump as much as we can, but we want you to get a feel for, obviously you're going to get a feel for how angry Mel Gibson is here. This is the transcript of the encounter at Mel Gibson's home. It was more or less Mr. Gibson just losing his temper with a bunch of dinner guests.
Yet. You know that.
No, I know that.
Oh, private! Yeah, here he goes. Here he goes.
Dinner.
He's very upset, obviously.
Yes.
And now he'll get into his car and leave.
Sounds to me like that's what he should do.
Well, it's his own home, Phil. And
tail end there.
That's him on the driveway yelling.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. And what you're hearing there, Phil, is a man obviously very distraught over the fact that the Esther House script had not been delivered, but there's something more to it. What really triggered that tirade was not so much Joe Esther House, it was a photograph of Mel Gibson with his new daughter by Oksana Grigorieva. I believe the child's name is Lucy.
Okay.
And when Mel saw the picture of himself with the little girl, he apparently reacted very negatively. He said that he looked old. He said he looked terrible. He was yelling this. And that's when he went into this tirade. So it's really more of a tirade against Grigorieva than it is against Joe Esther House.
All right, so what he's yelling there when he says that I work, you don't, he's not yelling this at Esther House.
No, he is screaming at Grigorieva, who obviously is not there. The fact that he is having to go out and work and support her, he's having to go out and work and keep the Mel Gibson brand alive for a wife that is obviously, you know, involved financially with him. And he's very much feeling the pressure, Phil, and I think what you're hearing there is really a man who is just at his wit's end with the pressure and the demands that have been put on him. And the fact that he lost it like that, I think it tells us a lot more about what people are doing to him than what's being, you know, than what he's doing to them.
Well, all right, so that's a very interesting point of view. We're talking to Margaret Gray here, and if you heard the tape there, you were listening at least in part, or if not, if you heard it all, Mel Gibson having another, another temper tantrum. And I hate to put it that way.
Well, I think it's an unfortunate way to put it.
But I mean, what I'm saying is it's another example. It's a public example of his anger,
Well, but those examples still have been made public by so-called friends that are not friends at all.
You're absolutely right. They have been taken from private recordings and been made. You could obviously make a case that there was a law broken, couldn't you?
Well, unfortunately, there's a compelling public interest. I don't know why they would consider it to be compelling, but I'm sure that would be the ruling by a judge. There is a compelling public interest in the ranting and raving of Mel Gibson because of who he is. If he were a private citizen and had no real celebrity, I think you could probably, that as an individual, he could go to a court or to even to law enforcement and say a law has been broken.
We're talking to Margaret Gray here about Mel Gibson's meltdown, this one in Costa Rica. You had what I would dare say was a rather sympathetic point of view there.
Well, I do.
Tell me about it.
Well, I think that what you're hearing there is a man that has given us so much. He's given us great film. He's given us great, wonderful performances in those films. He's given us films, Phil, that in many ways will go down in history. When we talk of A Birth of a Nation, when we talk of Gone with the Wind, when we talk of On the Waterfront, when we talk of Dr. Zhivago, we are going to mention in the same breath Braveheart. We are going to mention in the same breath Passions of the Christ. We are going to mention in the same breath, I dare say, as extreme as it may sound, Mad Max, because of the genre. And what Mel Gibson has gotten in return is this public thrashing. It is a very public humiliation. It is a very public debasement of the man by releasing these tapes.
All right, Margaret Gray on the line with us here. If you'll hang on, Margaret, as she talks about Mel Gibson from a much, much different standpoint from the from where we've heard the discussion originate, that Mel Gibson is not the injuring party, that Mel Gibson is, in fact, the injured party. maybe not his ex girlfriend injuring him, and maybe not Joe Esterhaus injuring him, but really the public, the media, and the tabloid media in particular, just dragging this man's obvious distress out into the public for display and not much explanation. Margaret Gray with us, Doug Danger along the way here as we talk about Mel Gibson's recent meltdown. On the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We will be right back with more. I was assuming
Truth
an Oksana
is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I'm Russian, not German.
All right.
Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 on the line with me, Margaret Gray from the Dicklin Syndicate. We also have Doug Danger with us from the Orange County Courier as we talk about Mel Gibson. And I want to get the story right. And Doug, I know you have, Margaret, you gave it to me. Gibson was not reacting so much to Esterhaus in this recent meltdown that we just heard, but to Ms. Grigoriva.
Phil, that is exactly right. It was, as Margaret just said, it was a response to, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so believe me, I can tell you, Phil, I know all about anger. I know all about anger. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I've known some anger in my life. I've known some anger that I have to tell you. Let me just say this. I'm a gay man and I'm a gay journalist, and if that doesn't give you an idea of what I mean by anger. So I've known anger. And what he was angry at there was this Oksana Grigoriva, who is the girlfriend.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, the girlfriend who had gave birth to that baby. And he looked at a picture of himself holding his daughter, and he said, "I look old." Apparently, this is Joe Esterhaus's version, and this is something that Joe Esterhaus put into a letter to Mel Gibson, all right? As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I look at that, and I have to say to myself, well, that was a communication that was unnecessary. He was provoking him. He was prodding him. He was saying, remember when you looked at that picture of you, of yourself, and you looked old and you looked haggard and you looked dead. You looked dead. And probably emphasizing dead as in your career's dead. And I think that's what was going on, Margaret. And
well, I think that that is a very good read on that. I think that that Mel Gibson...
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to emphasize, Phil, as a gay man, as a gay journalist.
Okay.
What I wanted to say is the fact that Mel Gibson, the pressure that that man is under to come up with a film that is going to perform at the high level that Passions of the Christ did. This is the last real hit movie he's had. And I don't know the year of that, Doug.
Well, that came out in 2005.
In 2005. So that's a movie that is the last real big hit. Are you sure it was 2005?
Yeah, I think.
Well, wait, hold on for a minute. I think it was 2004. And I'll tell you why, because we were at the Aspen Comedy Festival.
Yeah, I think you might be right. But be that as it may,
Well, okay. Yeah, I thought it was 2005. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You know, the reason I'm saying that is I remembered, I think I, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I have to...
You have to remember things.
Yes.
Well, so do the rest of us. And
what does that mean?
Well, what it means is I have to remember things too, Doug. I'm not trying to be homophobic. I'm just saying that I have to remember things too.
Yeah, but do you have to remember things as good as I do?
I think so, yeah.
Can we... All right, so we've made that point.
Yeah, so anyway, Mel Gibson had this meltdown he had the meltdown when he saw the picture. Now, if I'm Joe Esterhaus and my son comes to me and he says, "Hey, Dad, I just tape recorded Mr. Gibson's meltdown. What do you think I had to do with it?" I would have taken that tape from that child and I would have said to the child, "Who do you think you are?
Absolutely.
Who do you think you are taping the private emoting of one of our very dear friends?" And if there was more punishment needed, it would have been forthcoming.
I agree with her 100%, Phil. In fact, I would have gone one better. I'm an uncle of a niece and of a nephew, and I don't see any reason why she shouldn't have, or Mr. Estehouse shouldn't have slapped his son across the face.
Well, you think it's that much of a betrayal, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely it's a betrayal. To tape record a dear friend having an emotional episode like that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I know anger. Believe me, I know anger. I don't think anybody knows anger more than being a gay man and then as a gay journalist having doors shut in my face all the time. I came out, you know, 7 weeks ago, and that's when the door opened. And then to have doors shut, right after the closet door opens, the doors get shut. I heard a lot of people say that, but boy, I never knew it was as true as it was until those doors started getting shut in my face. The closet door opens, all the other doors shut.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, that sounds,
Well, I just, what I want to say is this.
Wait a minute, I'm not done yet.
Okay, well, so the point is...
I know anger. I'm saying that I know anger. And Mel Gibson was entitled to his anger, given what this Grigoriva did. I have to tell you, Phil, given what Oksana Grigoriva did, is there anybody that's going to doubt that Mel Gibson probably was entitled to be that angry? And I don't think there's a lot of men that would resist the temptation when a woman says, I'm going to take more money from you. I know your wife just took half of everything you've got. I'm going to take more money from you just to kind of pile on a little bit. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm going to tell you, if I were married to that woman or she were my girlfriend, even though I'm gay, but I let her in my life for whatever length of time.
Why would you let her in your life?
Just because she's hot. Because maybe I want to try it the other way. But let me just put it to you this way. If she came to me and said, I've got a baby and I need money from you, I don't think anybody would doubt that it warranted would be putting her in a headlock and driving her head into a wall.
Oh, my God.
Whoa, that kind of violence?
No, I'm saying that would be the instinct. That would be my instinct. I can't do it. I don't want to go to jail. But when you ask me about Mel Gibson's anger, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I know anger.
Well, so you're saying what his instinct would be.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I agree with that, too, Phil. I don't countenance violence against anyone, least of all women. But if you said to me Mel Gibson's fantasies involved running her head into a brick wall, I would understand that.
Well, see, that's the kind of talk that prompts violence from people.
No, I don't play that. I don't play the media creates violence.
No, I'm not saying that. But when someone says in conversation, forget about the media, I'm just saying in conversation, oh, wow, man, that was really low. I mean, God, I wouldn't blame the guy. I would understand if that guy just ran her head into a wall. There are people that are going to take that to mean go ahead and do it.
Well, I'm not responsible for that, and I don't think that Doug's saying that. I'm simply saying that the outrageous treatment of Mel Gibson by leaking this tape, by calling him the things...
Well, this is a guy that has called people the N-word, that has called that woman, that this is the mother of his daughter, a sea-sucker, and she's a whore, and he used over and over and over again, MF, this and that. I mean, and he's doing this to friends of his, or at least in front of friends of his.
Wait a minute, Phil, hold on for a minute. This is his home.
Absolutely.
This is his private home, Phil. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, you know, let me point out, and I have in articles, you know, given the, you know, my orientation as a gay man and a gay journalist, this is a man's home, okay? And this is where a man can be himself, and this is where a man can express himself.
And, Phil, you can't tell a man what to do in his own home. And
no, you can't tell a man what to do in his own home, but you do know when a man is behaving rightly or wrongly, properly or improperly. I don't care if he's in his own home or not. If he is out of control, he's out of control. And
well, again, why is he out of control when he is saying, here's a woman that wants more of my money? I just made Passions of the Christ. I've made Braveheart. I've done all I can do, and all they want to do is take my money. I want to throw her off a cliff, but I can't.
And who doesn't understand that instinct, Phil? That's what we're saying.
Yeah, all right, 877-876-PHIL.
Well, what does that mean, yeah?
Yeah, that is demeaning.
No, I just mean, yeah, it's just 877-876-7445. Mel Gibson. Is he entitled to that anger or not? And Margaret Gray and Doug Danger on the line with us as we continue to talk about this. We'll play the tape one more time and go through the transcript, too.
Phil Hendry.
Well, how are you going to do that? Every other word...
Phil, 877-876-7445. We're going to listen one more time to the Mel Gibson audio. We actually have the beeps in the right places here so that we can hear the entire audio without hitting a dump button, because that generally, sometimes when you hit a 5 or 10 second dump or however long, it cuts out other words that you don't need to cut out.
I think what you're going to hear here, Phil, is, as Mark was trying to say, this is Doug Danger, and as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I would say that what you're hearing here is justifiable rage that people didn't want to hear because they're all protecting their turf.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And so what does Joe Esterhaus do? He goes, he takes this, he gives it to the media. Oksana Grigorieva gave her tapes to the media. And while Mel Gibson may have a very, very valid point, no one cares, because Mel Gibson is he's a very, very loud and very, very aggressive man. He's an Australian that's made it big in the United States. Let's face it, people don't like that. He's a man who has gone from playing the Mad Max character to making films about Jesus Christ. He's very, very versatile. He's very, very talented. And it really angers a lot of these no-talents that populate Hollywood today.
He's an Australian that's made it big in America, and that angers people.
I think so, yeah. I think so. When you give the fact here in the United States, you've got a lot of these, you know, people that just don't like the idea that there are individuals who are foreign making it big in our market.
Well, I never thought of Mel Gibson. I thought he was raised in the United States. I know he was born...
No, he was born in the United States, raised in Australia.
All right. Well, anyway, let's listen to this tape now. This is Mel Gibson here, and this is from... this has got beeps and everything in it. This is the angry... The very, very angry outburst at his home in the Dominican Republic. Or, excuse me, in Costa Rica with Joe Esterhaus and his son and some other guests. That'll start here momentarily. Three, two, there we go.
I feel sorry for him.
Hold on.
You need to hold on.
Hold on.
She's trying to say she feels sorry for him.
All right, hold on. I want to hear it.
God. What a pain in the ass. You can hear Joe Esterhaus in there, if you're interested in what he sounds like. That's the man's voice going in and out.
Okay.
I'm not working! You're getting paid! I'm not!
He must have... Make the beeps louder, Phil?
No.
My nose is bleeding. I have.
From what?
Those beeps.
Hooray!
all those beeps that, you know, you look.
Okay, so there it is, with all of the beeps. Margaret and Doug?
You're hearing a man who had asked for a script to be delivered, and when he got to his home there, and he had Mr. Esterhaus there, and Mr. Esterhaus is a guest of Mel Gibson's. I have to assume he's one of his guests. They're in Costa Rica. They're far from the United States. I'm a gay man, even though I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, it doesn't take a gay man and a gay journalist to figure out the fact Joe Esterhaus is probably a guest of Mel Gibson's in his home there. Now you couple that with the fact that he showed up to be a guest. That means he's going to eat this guy's food. He's going to swim on his beach. He's going to sleep in Mel Gibson's bed. He's probably going to wear Mel Gibson's bathing suits and use Mel Gibson's soap and eat Mel Gibson's food, all that stuff. And he shows up with, I don't know what he had. It was like written on a napkin.
Well, what he showed up with, Phil, was there was no script. He had scribbled some things on some scraps of paper on the backside of a tax form.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. Esterhaus had showed up with... He was supposed to have a script.
Yes, he was supposed to have a script.
What did he show up with?
Well, my understanding is it was some scribblings on the back of a tax form. There was some scribbling on the back of a... I don't know what it was. It was something like having to do with a homeowners association announcement or a flyer that he got on the windshield of his car. In other words,
this guy was supposed to have a script and he's scribbling stuff on the back of flyers. And
yeah, that's what we're trying to say.
How do you know this?
Well, this is what had to have happened. And
No. How do you know that that's what he showed up with?
What I'm saying, Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been around a lot of screenwriters and I've been around a lot of scripts. And you don't have a meltdown like that unless the guy showed up with something scribbled on the back of some offer for window tinting.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, Esterhaus gets a flyer for window tinting is whatever he's got.
Lamborghini.
Yeah, window tint is Lamborghini, which is so... oh, my God. Anyway, so he gets an offer for that, and he scribbles down a few ideas on that for the Maccabees and sends this off to Gibson. And that's what I find to be indefensible, and I feel bad for them.
I think we all do, Phil. And
wait, you guys have not substantiated this one bit. You have not substantiated this.
What? What have I not substantiated?
The fact that the guy, that Joe Esterhaus showed up with some thoughts scribbled in the back of a window tinting flyer.
Well, look at Phil. It stands to reason, all right? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'll put this together for you. He's a gay man and a gay journalist because that is what I do as in my profession as a journalist. I use that eye that I've got as a gay man and a gay journalist. All right, Esterhaus drives a Lamborghini. He's a very successful screenwriter.
How do you know he drives a Lamborghini?
Esterhaus drives an expensive sports car. Don't worry about it.
Phil, the nitpicking as to what it is, you know it's a high-end sports car, a high-end sedan.
All right, so he's got a Lamborghini. Now, Esterhaus is most likely cruising through West Hollywood or Hollywood or some of these areas, you know, he's getting ideas for... He goes into some seedy areas to get ideas. So look at the scripts that he writes. He writes scripts about strippers and garbage. He writes scripts about the garbage side of life. So he's generally in a part of town where you're going to get offers for those real cheap window tinting jobs that bubble.
Yeah, when it gets hot enough.
So that's going to be slipped under the windshield when he pulls into the Latin market to get a lottery ticket and another cigar, and maybe he's going to get a can of iced tea. I don't know what he's going to get. He comes out. There it is. There's the offer to tint the windows on the Lamborghini, the real cheap offer. And he looks at the offer. He gives it the once-over because he wants to get the windows tinted, but he realizes he's not going to go down to, some certain parts of town. I don't want to say which ones, but generally the people down there. Okay, let's say they speak with they roll their R's. Let's put it that way, okay?
But we don't want to say what part of town.
Well, we don't want to be racist, Phil.
But they roll their R's.
Whatever. Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Are you accusing me of some kind of discrimination based upon the fact that I said they roll their R's? God!
Yeah, I'm saying it's not discrimination. I'm saying it's a little, you know, a little bit of an aside.
Anyway, you know, just let it go, Doug. So anyway...
Yeah, let it go, Doug.
So,
what a child.
All right, so anyway, So he takes a look. It says window tinting. He realizes that the cheap-ass window tint offer, so he's not going to use that. But, hey, I just had some ideas for this script that Mel Gibson wants. And so he scribbles some stuff out. He sends that down to Gibson. It's on the back of this window tint flyer. No wonder Gibson starts screaming and yelling about Jews. Because of...
Why? No. Why would Mel Gibson go... What do you mean Jews? Where did he say that?
Well, Esther House claims that Gibson was screaming and yelling about Jews, and I would have to say the reason for that is because Gibson was upset with this guy having the gall to give him the script for the Maccabees written on the back of some flyer for, house cleaning or window painting or fence painting or window cleaning. No, window painting and house and fence cleaning.
House cleaning? What are you talking about anyway? You're coming up with a lot of gobbledygook here.
No, I'm not coming up with gobbledygook. What kind of flyers do you get?
You get flyers for house cleaning, maybe for window tinting, and maybe for fence painting.
Well, you said fence cleaning. Yeah, I said fence cleaning.
And okay, fence cleaning. So none of which we...
You're told, listen to this guy, will
you? You know what the problem is, Phil? You and Mel Gibson are very much alike, except for the... And I don't mean this in a bad way. I was going to say, except for the talent part, but...
Well, thank you very much. You're right. I don't have his talent.
No, but you're very much alike in your temperament. And the fact that you lose your temper as much as you do, and Mel Gibson loses his temper the way he does... I would think you'd have a little bit of compassion for him.
I do have compassion for people who have a bad temper. I understand. But I also know that, and being one who has lost his temper, you cannot let that happen. As much as you feel like you're entitled, you cannot let it happen. It scares people, and they completely turn you off. They just shut you off.
Well, I would consider that to be real backstabbing.
I'd have to agree with that.
Backstabbing who?
Backstabbing Mel Gibson. I just got done telling you that
Esther House got a window tint flyer, and he decided to write the script on the back of that. Hold the phone here. We'll be right back in a world. That's what happened. That's why Gibson got pissed off, because Esther House sent him a first draft for the Maccabees written on the back of a flyer for fence painting. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Seven seven eight seven six. Phil, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I just had a guy call and said that Esther House lives in Cleveland.
No, he doesn't live in Cleveland. He lives in Los Angeles. He made noises like he was going to move back to Cleveland. He's not.
No, Joe Esther House lives in Los Angeles. I just saw him probably about a week ago.
Well, I mean, could he not be commuting?
No, he's not commuting. He doesn't live in Cleveland. He may be from Cleveland, for all I know. You can't be in the movie business. You can't be in the motion picture business without living where the motion pictures are made, or at least where the post-production takes place, where the deals get made, and where the, different deals and this and that gets done. So, no.
All right, we're talking here with Doug Danger and with Margaret Gray about the Mel Gibson meltdown. And the fact that he has obviously had another one having to do with, it seems, the ex-wife. And nothing more. Esther House was there. I heard that there had been some problem with him.
Well, there is a problem with Esther House. The fact that we mentioned to you that he showed up with a script on the back of a fence painting.
Well, the fence painting thing, you guys don't have any idea what you're talking. How do you know this?
I'm saying it stands to reason that we just laid it out for you. We just laid out for you how this guy is driving through some parts of L.A. where he's going to get material for his next script.
No, I know that you said that, oh, he must be driving through the part of L.A. where they roll their R's. And
well, he didn't put it like that, Phil.
Like what?
He didn't go roll their R's. He didn't say that. What he said was...
Well, in other words, the Hispanic part of L.A.
Wow. Boy, I'm trying to keep race out of this. And,
oh, yeah, roll their R's, but you're trying to... So he's driving through there, and I guess that's where they do the cheap window tinting jobs, huh?
You said it, I didn't.
Let the record show, Phil, you said it, he didn't. Let the record show...
All right, let the record show that I said it, you didn't.
No, not me. Me.
Right, you, Doug.
Oh, my God, you're losing it.
Phil, this is exactly what we were talking about.
Hold on for a minute, guys. I'm not losing anything. I'm trying to get this conversation under some semblance of control. You said that this guy Esterhaus was driving through the part of town where they roll their R's and where you get cheap window pinning.
See how out of control you are? This is all I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that you're like Mel Gibson. But when you let your anger, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? I know anger. I'll tell you, Phil, as a gay man, I've been subjected to gay slurs. I would have grabbed the guy and run his head right through a brick wall if I thought I could have gotten away with it, not gotten arrested or sued, okay? I've heard some things from people. What I should have done is just taken that baseball bat I keep under the front seat of my car and gone to work, but I didn't. So I understand anger. I understand Mel Gibson wants to take this Grigoriva or Esterhaus or whoever it is that's pissing him off, and he wants to throw them off a cliff onto lava rock below. I think they've got some lava rock.
Yes, in Costa Rica, there's a lot of lava rock beaches.
That stuff cuts like glass. And
boy, you guys are getting weirder as the show progresses here.
Why is that?
Mel Gibson wants to throw people off a cliff down onto lava rock beaches. Because why? Because he's getting stuck for money by this Grigoriva? Because his wife wanted half of everything? Because the guy's life is not going the way he wants it to go? Because he made some stupid decisions?
Well, I'd like to know, are you saying the Grigoriva romance?
Yes, I'm saying fathering a child by that woman. I'm saying that this is a guy that does whatever the hell it is that he wants because people let him. And then, when things don't go his way, he has a tantrum like a 3-year-old infant. Now,
you know, you're talking about Mel Gibson, who's one of the greatest filmmakers to have ever lived.
That and what does that mean exactly? The guy makes great movies, I give you that. They're fantastic. I've enjoyed them immensely. And I give him all the due that he is owed. I don't think carrying on like a 4-year-old, running around a house, yelling the F word, screaming and yelling. You heard that. Guys, like he was throwing a tantrum like a 2-year-old. Anybody's had a 2-year-old child has heard that.
I have had a 2-year-old child, okay? And I don't think either one of you have had a 2-year-old child. And when my 2-year-old, Jason J. Delmonico.
By the way, I wanted to say congratulations on Fancy Free.
Yes, he got cast in Fancy Free, Phil.
What is that, a new movie?
Yeah, a little bit. God.
Phil, where you been? Fancy Free is the new kid movie that's coming out.
Yeah. So anyway, when Jason, never mind, he doesn't get it.
I'm sorry, I'm not up on Fancy Free. I don't know what that is.
It's a new kid, it's a new movie that's coming out. It's like Bugsy Malone. It's a crime movie where there's a lot of violence, you know, but it's played by kid actors. So they're...
Like Bugsy Malone where they were grown up?
Well, no, they were children, but they played mobsters in Bugsy Malone.
Yeah.
Well, this is a modern era crime. It's like Reservoir Dogs with children.
Yeah, I would say so.
Reservoir Dogs with child actors.
Yes. Oh, God, here we go.
They don't have, they're not cutting anybody's ear off. Although, do they? I don't know if they do.
Just like they did in Reservoir Dogs, you didn't see it.
Are you telling me...
Well, hold on, Phil. You got the wrong idea.
No, there's no real graphic violence. The most graphic thing in Reservoir Dogs is what?
The most graphic?
Yes.
Well, the shooting scene when Tim Roth's character gets shot and he's bleeding like a stuck pig. And
oh, my God, like a stuck pig.
These are children, Phil, and that kind of terminology...
Well, you just said to me that this Fancy Free is the name of it?
Yes, that's the name of it. Why are we spending time on this?
And I don't know. Phil, if you've got a problem, you can write the guy that wrote the screenplay.
And who wrote it?
Joe Esterhaus.
Yeah.
Are you high on narcotics or something?
That's my understanding, that Joe Esterhaus wrote a script for, maybe they didn't use it.
I think he submitted a draft.
On the back, maybe, of a flyer for window tinting.
Maybe. But in any event, that's who I thought got attached to the project. Who got attached to the project?
I don't know. Who got attached to the project, Frank?
Attached to what project?
Who got attached to the Fancy Free project as the writer?
I thought Esterhaus. I thought she had it.
Esther who?
Esterhaus.
Yeah, Joe Esterhaus.
No, okay. So Joe Ester...
I didn't say Joe Esterhaus. I told you. Esterhaus.
Who is Esterhaus?
Esterhaus. You know who he is.
It's a woman?
Yes. Oh, Well, what do you want from me? You asked me a question. All right, Frank, thank you. So the writer is Esther Hoos.
What does that mean?
It means that's the name of the writer, Esther Hoos. That's who wrote Fancy Free, and we're way off the subject, and thank you very much. That's the end of the hour.
Now, wait a minute. I've got a couple more things to say about Esther Hoos, because I think I know who.
Thanks very much, folks. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news and information hour coming up. Thank God we got through those 2 hours on Esther Hoos. Phil Hendry Show.
What do you want from me? That's what the that's who he is, as far as I know.
Oh God, Frank.
Phil Hendry.